First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress, jumped on in, drove to the lake, put her hand on my knees.
I can't. You gotta go buy this song, guys.
We needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time, early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
Yeah, you got to go buy that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a thing. I think I put it on the page there where you can go find it, like on Amazon or whatever. Go buy that song from Craig Campbell. Yeah. And that is just... That song.
The video is pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah. Great video. But, yeah. All right. Mr. Captain Greg, you went fishing in the Gulf.
Yes, we did. Me and my neighbor, Dwayne Wilhelm, and Kevin Sweet.
Yeah.
We decided to torture ourselves.
And your boat was wrecked by Captain Mike Myers.
Yes, it was.
Yes. And Mike came in and said, I was sitting there fishing with Greg. I'm like, I didn't think Greg went on your boat.
Well, you know? We were surprised to see him, too.
He says, no, they were just next to us there. I said, oh, okay. So what happened out there?
Well, starting from the beginning, we went out that morning, came out of Placida. We paralleled the shoreline north to about 2 miles north of Stump Pass. We were exploring. We've been fishing a lot south of the Mohawk out in that area. And there's been a lot of people there lately, so we thought, well, let's go try north. So we went out there, and we were keeping our eyes on the bottom machine. And what was that?
Oh, that was me. I punched the wrong button. I'm... adding the segment that we just did a minute ago, and the one where we never got around to talking about fishing.
Yeah, one of the, that one.
Yeah. So,
but yeah. Anyway, we just went up. We were looking for some structure. You know, it's hard bottom, whatever. And we found several spots out there. And we were as far north as the Venice Inlet, up on the reef balls up there.
Right.
And we put a few decent grouper on the boat and caught some really nice grunts, and your dad would have been ecstatic because we probably caught 200 squirrel fish.
Well, for those of you who don't know, squirrel fish is predominantly used as a bait, but it is an excellent eating fish as well.
And we had some big ones.
And flaying out a squirrel fish is, you know, something, you know, my family's been doing for a long time, and that actually, it's a tasty meal. It's very tasty. You got to fillet a bunch of them. If you're from up north and you know what a yellow perch is,
yep,
this would be kind of a saltwater equivalent. It's not quite as tasty, but darn near.
Not quite as wide a fillet as you would get off a yellow perch. But
no, a little less.
Yeah, but still tasty, nonetheless.
Yeah.
And we were the squirrel fish kings that day. No doubt about it. Every place we stopped, we got squirrel fish, you know.
Well,
which was not really our intent, but...
No, but, you know...
We had plenty of bait.
Sometimes, you know, you got bait and whatever you got left over and alive, well, you know, flay up.
There you go. But, yeah, we ended up, we swung way north like that and then worked our way out to the Bay Ronto. And we pulled up on the Bay Ronto, and there was one other boat there when we got there, about a 28-foot Triton from Ohio.
Really?
Yeah. And the two guys on it are from Ohio. They trailer down every year. And the guy's mother, one guy, his mother lives in Punta Gorda, and they actually come in the shop for bait.
Well, know. That's cool.
I'm like, well, hey, that's pretty neat, you know? And we talked to them a little bit. Hell, we weren't there 10 minutes. And Dwayne says to me, he goes, hey, is that the big dumb kid coming? And I'm like, huh? He goes, this boat, it's got water lines splashed all over the side of it. I turned around and looked. I said, oh, hell, that's Mike Myers. And I'm going, what the hell is he doing clear out here in that boat? You know, I mean, because it's a glorified flat boat, really.
Well, it's kind of a bay boat type thing. But, yeah, I get you. It's not exactly what you want to be, you know, 30 miles in the Gulf.
Well,
but
especially with five people on it.
But I'll say one thing. If I was going to put five people in a boat, I wouldn't mind if Mike was running it.
Right. Mike and his boy and three friends, and they came out there. And they'd actually been out earlier, but, you know, in the morning. And this was probably, I'm going to say 1:30-ish when they showed up out there. And he was telling us that they'd gotten some AJs that morning. And they fished that for a while. And then when the tide turned, they ran back in a little closer to get some more bait, some squirrel fish and stuff. And they fished up some grouper. Sounded like they were having a good day. And they hooked up a couple of fish. And Mike's going, he says, hey, Greg. He says, all the fish we've hooked up, he says, we got drift. He says, nothing on the wreck itself. He says, everything is just off the wreck. So we pulled up the anchor and we started doing that. And lo and behold, we started hooking up fish. Okay. Not that we put many of them in the boat, but.
All right. What were we using for bait? Let's go to that.
Well, we started out, we were using the squirrel fish.
Right.
And, you know, we were more or less bottom fishing. And Mike had said, well, he says, we were dropping them to the bottom and coming up 5 or 6 cranks.
We said, right.
Okay. So we did that. And that worked very well. And we were getting into AJs. And we got several to the boat that were too small. And they were, when they would come up, all the rest of them would come up with them. And there was some donkeys on there. I'm like, oh my God. And I've got this squirrel fish on, and I'm hanging it down there, and the water was just crystal clear. I mean, it was crazy. It was beautiful, you know. But I got it down there, and this one, man, he takes that thing and heads straight for the wreck. And it was probably 5, 5.5 foot long, and there was no even slowing him down. He just kept, he was a missile, straight into the wreck, and of course he broke me off.
Right.
And I had that happen several times. We did manage to get probably 4 or 5 small AJs up, and we got hooked up on big ones each time that we did that. You know, one of the other guys would drop down and hook, but we couldn't get the big ones in.
Yeah. Okay, now, one of the things I'm curious about is how we rigged up. What line were you using?
I had that 80-pound fins.
Right.
The metered stuff.
I like that line.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And I had that on 2-speed davit, which didn't help me a bit. I had a 60-pound fluorocarbon leader on it.
All right, what were you using for a sinker?
I actually had an 8-ounce sinker on there to get it down because the tide was ripping.
All right, so you've got the Avid, a little short.
Tiger Light.
Yeah, the Tiger Light.
Yeah, the heavy one.
So you've got you put your sinker on the line first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tie it off to the swivel.
Yep.
And then I put a split shot above mine to keep it from moving around too much.
I did the same thing.
Now, you can adjust that split shot from being away from the sinker all the way up to holding the sinker tight to the swivel. Now, how long the leader were you using?
I had about 4 foot on there.
Okay. So you got a 4 foot, what was it, 60?
60-pound fluoro.
Okay. So we've got a rod, a real 2-speed. With the 80-pound braid on it, coming off the Tiger Light, short 5'8", I think that's the 80 to 200-pound class.
Yep.
And then put your 8-ounce sinker, slide in on the, put your line through it, tie it to the swivel,
mm-hmm.
and then put a split shot over it. And now about 4 feet of 60-pound fluorocarbon leader, what hook do you have?
I was using a
6-aught?
Yeah, it was a 6-aught, and it was a VMC.
Okay, so trying to break it down for people because it's hard to, you know, we talk about the fishing, but actually getting into the gear sometime really helps with people. Because a lot of the grouper fishing you do now, you have to use circle hooks.
Sure.
So used to be, I was doing 7 and 7 foot rods and 6.5 and all these other ones because you had to sweep to get that hook set.
Right.
But now with the circle hooks, you just reel.
Reel like hell.
So the whole long rod thing, why not use a rod that doesn't beat the snot out of you?
Right.
I mean, no black and blue marks. I mean, you know, it's just much more comfortable, a lot lighter weight. You know, it's holding
leverage
nothing.
Leverage seems to be better, too, you know, because it's not
out there so far.
Yeah, you know, your fulcrum point is right there in front of you instead of
way out there. You're wondering about it, take a six-pack of beer, hold it next to your chest,
mm-hmm.
and then put it in your hand and hold it out at arm's length. It makes a big difference.
Yes,
and then put your 3 more feet out past that. It gets a lot heavier. And I figured a six-pack of beer they could relate to.
Sure.
Because they wouldn't drop it, you know.
God forbid.
They would actually hold on to that. But.
Well, and the thing was, with as big as these fish were, even at that with that short stick.
Right.
When I got hooked up on them, and a couple of them went straight down from us. And it was like I was holding that six-pack on my chest anyway, because they had that rod bent right over. And it was like, oh my God. I thought, oh, I'm going to blow this thing up. I said, thank God I know a guy that can replace this for me.
But, yeah, I've been, the only issues we have anymore with the Abbotts, this is part of that last segment, is they cut their drags funky nowadays. And
I didn't have that issue.
There's still a good grouper reel.
Yeah.
But as far as trolling reels and stuff, we've had to switch over to the Marquesas or the Accurate or the new Pens.
I actually trolled, all things totally wrong, with that rod and reel, with the braid on it, with one of those Rockport Rattler.
Oh, yeah. That new jig from them, yeah.
When they call a cobia something, right. Maybe they're talking about changing to an offshore.
I told them I'd buy it once they got the cobia off the name, because it's a good amberjack rig, it's a good grouper rig, but we're never going to use that for cobia. They put cobia on it, nobody's going to buy the stupid thing.
Well, we swung back around, we'd done it, because we were drifting the wreck is what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
We'd come in east of it, the tide was moving out, offshore. And it was kind of going southeast and northwest. We'd come inside direct, drift across it, drift 50, 60 yards beyond, maybe 100 yards a couple of times, and then turn around and start, kind of like going through the pass during tarpon season,
right.
Yeah. But as we were doing that the one time, I said, oh, let me reel this thing up here. I'm not going to bring it in. And I left it out behind the boat probably 20 yards or so. And I'm pretty sure it was a great big barracuda. He just came along and said, whew, snatched that thing up, took a run, and then, doink, just cut it right off, you know. I'm like, well, yeah, that's pretty much what it was doing.
And then the bad part of it happens, you know, where you're sitting there, and it's just, then the next thing you know, I was looking for I had an actual thing for this. You know, if the producer of this show was on the ball, or if I had any idea what we were going to talk about, you know, I don't remember what I did with it, but I had something here that kind of summed it all up, and I can't find it, but I will someday. Anyway, basically, you're dropping it down, doing about 5-6 cranks off the bottom. Now, did you guys do any grouper that day?
We did do grouper that day. And we got a few nice red grouper. I mean, you know, the 28, 29-inch variety.
Right.
And we did not get any on the wreck. We got those on a couple of hard bottom spots we found further north of there. And we were fishing right on the bottom. I mean, drop it, hit the bottom, give it a half a crank, and let it bump the bottom, because we were drifting.
Right.
And, you know, we caught a lot of undersized red grouper up that way. So, you know, like I said, it was an exploratory day for us, because we went there blind. No numbers, no nothing. We kind of went to a couple of wrecks that are marked on the charts and one thing or another, just to check them out. And there was a lot of fish. You know, just nothing that was of size. And, yeah. Pretty much. Except for the grunts. The grunts were huge. I mean, I was like, wow, I'd take 20 of these right now, because they were 14, 15-inch grunts.
Wow.
Yeah, they were real nice.
And they're some of the best eating of all.
I'd trade a snapper for a grunt any day of the week.
Yeah, me too. Without a doubt. So anyway, how did Wayne and everybody end up on... The day, was it pretty rough out there?
It was a little lumpy in the morning. It was wet, of course, when we first went out, because we had a little bit of sea fog going on. And believe it or not, I was actually smart and took my windbreaker with me, so I kind of stayed dry. Dwayne had forgotten his, so he was wet.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got that one lightweight, it's kind of made out of a foam material jacket,
right.
It's a raincoat, but it's really lightweight. I use those when it's foggy out. I forget what they're called, but they're in the back
Right.
Hanging up there, but they only weigh a quarter of a pound, and they don't. But, I like the plastic, but it's so hot.
Yeah. Well, I had my Columbia windbreaker.
Gotcha.
You know, so that was all good, you know, and it was kind of rough that morning. Not rough, but it was, you know, 3 footers.
Right.
So it was a little choppier than we thought it was going to be because they'd been calling for 5 knots, and it was actually about 5 knots of wind. But it had been a little windier the day before, and it hadn't laid down yet. But after 12 o'clock, it actually got very nice. I mean, it smoothed right out. I mean, there was a little roll on there, but you didn't have that chop to it, you know?
Right.
So it got comfortable riding. And as far as we ran that day, we were happy with comfortable.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. But, you know, you go out and do that big round in the grouper, you got 80-some miles on the boat.
Yeah. I'm guessing that we probably put close to 100 miles on the boat that day.
Yeah.
From the ramp out and back to the ramp, I'm thinking we probably ran about 100.
And, you know, it's all
fishy.
Fishy.
Yeah. And when you're starting to get a little older, your body lets you know for the next couple of days that, hey, maybe you should have run like 50 miles.
And he says, well, I don't think I'm going to be around for a couple of days. I think I'm gonna lay up a little bit. He said, that 14-hour day on the water.
Yeah, it kind of kicked my butt.
I got to tell you, I can remember when we go out 14 hours, sleep 3 hours, work a full shift. I don't know what happened.
I believe they call it old age.
Yeah, it ain't for sissies.
No, it's not.
So, anyway, how far, when you hit most of the grouper, you're probably at about 15, 20 miles?
I would say we were at least 20.
At least 20. Yeah. How many feet of water about?
We were in like 80 feet of water.
Oh, that's a good 30.
Yeah.
That's a good 30.
Well, we were north.
Yeah.
And it starts to get
20,
deeper a little closer.
20, 25.
Yeah.
So, because the Bay Ronto's, what, 25 out, 21?
Well, that's what Robert was saying, but according to the machine on Dwayne's boat, we were at 23 miles from just outside the boxcars.
Right.
And we had run a good 8 to 10 miles from the Bay Ronto before we got there.
Okay.
Well, so I'm guessing the Bay Ronto's got to be at 30.
I'm looking to see if I've got the Bay Ronto on my Where to Go Fishing maps, and I'm scrolling down here now to see if it's on here, to see if I can get a, because I did a lot of measurements and stuff. Yeah, Bay Ronto. Oh, from Boca Grande Pass itself, it's 36.68 miles from Boca Grande Pass on a 275 heading, mm-hmm. and it's a 400-foot freighter in 100 feet of water, and it's at 26.
And it's in several pieces.
Yeah, so but a 400-foot freighter is pretty old. It's breaking up.
Yeah,
but yeah, almost 37 miles out from Boca Grande Pass.
Yeah, and we're coming out of Placida, so you know a couple miles closer maybe, but
right
because it's just slightly north of west when you go out of Placida.
Right, go on fishingfranks.com, Where to Go Fishing maps, and scroll down across the big maps. You see reefs in the Gulf. Hit that. Scroll past Lee County, past Charlotte County. And you get down on the bottom, down below Sarasota County, and it's just below where I got the boxcar, and shipwrecks in the Gulf of Mexico is what it's listed under. But anyway,
and
it is on.
I'm definitely going back there. I had a good time. That's the very first time I've actually fished the Bay Ronto.
Really?
Yeah.
I've
been everywhere else out there, but I've never been to the Bay Ronto.
Years ago, I was big into the Bay Ronto. Yeah. I used to run out, back in the 80s. I was in the early 90s. I was out in the Gulf all the time. But I had just been commercial fishing and coming down from the panhandle commercial fishing and all that and being out in deep water. That's all I knew of saltwater fishing was commercial fishing in the deep water of the Gulf. And so I used to spend a lot of time out there. I miss it.
Well, and the nice thing about it was, you know, like I said, we were playing around with them with a squirrel fish, and these two guys that were on that Triton boat, one of them pulled up a real nice African pompano, and we're talking to him. Says, man, what were you using on there? Because we could see him over there working something.
Right.
Says, I can't be bait, you know. He says, you know, small vertical jig. He held it up, a little silver vertical jig.
Right.
So Dwayne goes, oh, I got a few of them in my bag here, you know. So we break out the vertical jigs, yeah? Dwayne actually got one nice African pompano. The AJ's got the rest of the vertical jigs that we were using because they liked them too.
So you're using what, the 3-inch?
Yeah, the 3-inches, the little pencil ones.
Yeah, little pencil ones. I've got them over on the wall over there. Yeah, they're...
Well, I don't know how many are left over there because I was in Thursday, the day after we fished, and there was three guys came in. They were going offshore, and I told them about the trip out and using the vertical jigs. They went over. They brought several of them to the counter.
Yeah, well, we've got to restock anyway. I mean, we've got all this stuff going on. So I was just talking to one supplier. There's a distributor over on the other coast that I don't usually use, but he's got a good supply of stuff. So I'm going to be getting in a bunch of stuff this week from him because this is. I got
that time of year.
Yeah, I got to get more product, and we're out of all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, well,
somebody had a tent sale and sold all that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
sale and then an audit and God. Yeah,
on and on,
on and on. Yeah, this place is going to try and kill me. But anyway, anything else we can talk about? If you're going out in the Gulf, take some squid, take some sardines.
Absolutely, squid, sardine. Squid wing, if we have it, because squid wing is nice because you can cut it into chunks or you can cut it into strips.
And nothing else, you're going to use it to catch your bait, even if you're not using it to catch your fish.
Exactly.
So some squid wings, preferably, or squid. Some frozen sardines.
Sardines are always good. And if you can get those the day before and put them in a little salt the night before, that toughens them up so they don't come off the hook so readily.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is Dave Appello. Crazy Dave.
Yep.
He takes a regular squid and pulls the legs and the head out, slides it over the sardine. Now, one of the things that the guys are doing that we kind of changed on what he's doing is trimming the squid back so it doesn't cover the whole sardine, just covers the head.
Right.
And putting the hook through the squid and the sardine and having it fit over like a cap keeps the bait on really nicely. And if they do happen to pull a sardine off, you still got that chunk of squid, they swing back, grab
there
it.
There you go.
And Dave calls it a squid-dom. But it really does work.
I have to try that.
Even if you want to hook, the sardine in the middle, just take and cut the squid so you get that nice circle.
Sure.
About a half an inch or an inch, put it in the middle of the sardine, run your hook through the squid and sardine all in one, and it acts like a keeper for the sardines, so you don't lose your bait. You don't have to brine them, and you keep that.
That makes life easier.
Yeah, and just by cutting up the squid and using it as a keeper. So that's actually a really cool trick that we've kind of modified, because Dave just puts the whole squid over the sardine, leaving the tail stick out. And we've been actually doing rings in it or just cutting it down so it's like a nose cone.
Right.
Really, it's been amazing. A lot of the guys are doing it now, and it's really working out good.
Perfect.
So, anyway, good fishing out in the Gulf right now.
It's on fire out there.
I had a great report. One of the captain is just knocking the king mackerel dead.
Yep.
He is just...
That would be Dan Camburn.
Dan Camburn, Morris Campbell. I mean, all these... But Captain Dan on Hammerhead Charters, he's been doing great on the king mackerel.
Yeah, I've been watching his posts up on Facebook. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Dwayne.
Captain Dwayne French is just...
They've been smacking the grouper and the snapper and everything out there.
I can tell you, if you're looking for a bag of groceries and you want to take some fish back to impress your friends, Dwayne French, Real Action Charters.
And he is on our webpage.
Well, he's just go down on Radio Fishing. Let's see. It's just a few below this. Let's see. How far down? Actually, it's further down than I thought it was.
It's on there someplace.
Yeah, it's down. You see the big boat. He's got
leave
a 42
a trailer of breadcrumbs so you can get back.
Yeah. So, but Dwayne's boat's down there. And click that picture of the big offshore boat with the what do you call the thing on the top where you drive on the top? Yeah, the flying bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't draw that out. I was just drawing complete blank, but it'll take you to his website. But he's on fire right now. He took out the president of Penn, the head of Sabeel, a bunch of the other guys.
Yep.
And they came back in, and they wanted to eat some of the fish because they're all here in hotels and stuff. So they called me up and said, Frank, what can we do? I said, hang on, I'll call you back. And I called Dave from Luigi's.
Right.
And I said, Dave, can they bring in some fish? Will you guys cook it? And it was about $10 a plate, but got to tell you, it was the most spectacular. I went up to make sure everything was going okay. Most spectacular layout of fish I've ever seen. Man,
I didn't get a call.
Oh, it was amazing, Greg. I'm telling you, the grouper, the cobia, all the fish they had, and they had what they wanted, and they gave some of the cooks some other part of it, and they were like rock stars then, because the cooks were all freaking out, but they had blackened and batter fried. He looks at me and says, they don't usually do this, do they? I said, well, they do if you know the owner. But if you're down here and you do need something, you know, it's not cheap, it's not expensive, it's a normal price for a meal, but you can actually do that at Luigi's, but you got to call ahead and make sure they know and that they can do it and all that. But nice people, and what a,
absolutely.
And I had to leave there and go to a local place that says they're about seafood. Oh my God, what disappointment.
Yes.
You know, yes, we get to look at this and, you know, the view's pretty, but they're like, oh yeah, this is good. I'm thinking to myself, I left there with all these guys. Well, you know, I have all these different companies that come into town for the tent sale, so I got to go and have dinner with a few of them and drinks and all that. Oh, that was so, you know, after being there, and the food was so good. Oh, yeah. God, I thought I was in heaven.
I've
right
died
there.
And gone to heaven.
Yes, they did. Luigi's outdid themselves. It was absolutely spectacular.
They always have good food.
Yeah, but I mean, every once in a while, and now that was on a Sunday night, and the short guy was cooking. Kind of short, not heavy, he's just kind of stocky. I forget his name, but wow, that guy can cook. I want to hire him to come out to the house and cook fish.
When we hire him to come and cook for the tent sale next year.
Yeah, I thought about that. So, anyway, I guess we can wrap this up. Live shrimp works pretty good on the snappers out there right now, but definitely take some squid and sardines. Try and catch some squirrel fish. The best way to catch squirrel fish is find some flat sandy bottom.
And squid.
And put a squid piece of bits. Squid on. What are you using for as far as a hook and sinker?
I was using a number two mustad, you know, a 2-aught mustad, gold mustad hook, and I had a 3-ounce egg sinker on there that I just slid up the line above the hook and pinched a split shot below it. I was knocker rigging it at first.
Right.
And that worked okay, and then I slid it up the line about 18 inches and pinched a shot off below it. And then it really started working well that way.
Well, you can feel it bite a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've actually gone out and just used a half-ounce bucktail and tossed it out with a spinning rod.
And I think the problem with we'd have had with that was the tide, the water was moving so fast.
They would never hit bottom.
Yeah, we had the drift sock out, and we were still doing 0.8 miles an hour.
Yeah.
On the GPS.
So. Yeah, when you're going that fast, you can't really bottom fish without 2-3 ounces of weight. And you can't really use a regular jig because they're too heavy at that. Your hooks are too big.
Yep.
You got to have that number two hooks, small hooks to get those squirrel fish on. So, anyway, I can't think of anything else we need to talk about.
I think that'll cover it.
All right. Well, anyway, boys and girls.
Boy, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bumpo, baby, bumpo, baby, mole.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. This is Fish and Frank and Captain Greg in the chair across from me. And we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. And what a time. If you can get out right now and go fishing, it's the time to do it. The Gulf's on fire. There's fish all over the harbor. The Spanish mackerel, the sharks, the tarpon are moving in. Snook, redfish. I mean, pick a fish. It's there. They're eating. They're really, as soon as this wind stops, get out and go fishing. Anyway, Fish and Frank here. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.